from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 22nd through the 32nd verses. Verses 22 through 32 of Ephesians in the New Testament. And that would be, I think it's listed here, page 978 in your Bibles. We're going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of his holy words. You may be seated.
Are we good? Awesome. Wow. My voice has amplified from not too long ago. Well, it's good to be here and to be able to present to you guys another a message of God's Word. I'm going to tell you guys a story. And it's the story of me and Courtney and Savannah. I remember the first time I found out that my wife was pregnant. There was a feeling of overjoy, and of course some feelings of being a bit nervous. For I was going to be a new father. The months moved by, and with every appointment, those feelings became stronger. I remember finding out it was going to be a girl the week before Christmas, and I was so excited. I remember seeing the ultrasound pictures and feeling amazed. But nothing would compare to the day when Savannah Mae joined the world. It was a long day for me. I worked from 1 o'clock till about 10:30 p.m. I talked to Courtney a few times on the phone and she said nothing was happening. That was not right. When I got home that night, it all changed. So here we were, off to the hospital. We got there and the front desk person asked us what we were doing there. And I said, oh, just on a walk at 1 a.m. That was, of course, sarcasm. My wife is pregnant, and she's in labor. Can't you see? Time moved on, and we got admitted. And 12 hours later, a miracle was born. A new life. Savannah was brought into this world and was a new creation of God. When we are born into the faith, we are born as a new creation, a new life. And it's when we mature in that life that our life changes drastically from our old self to our new self. Scripture tells us that we are born again and that we are no longer our old selves. We no longer wear our old clothes, but we are new. We're created new. We put on new clothes. Bottom line is our lives have changed drastically. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation as you guys read from your translation. Verse 22 and following. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. This means just what it says. It's time to get rid of your old self and remember that you're new and put on your new clothes. It's like taking your old clothes and dropping them off at Goodwill and going to your favorite store and getting new ones and putting them on. It's a drastic change that often we as Christians tend to forget. Churches today seem to have a problem. The members are just like the world. People do not come into the church because they see no point. But the Bible is clear as day. Put off the old self. Why, you ask? Because you're a new creation, a new person. One to follow the Lord and not to follow the world. When I walk into our church, I see amazing people. But I see so much more. I see that we could be doing so much more. And I'm not just going to sit here today and bash our church, because I will get fired. But I'm going to bash the church as a whole, because we as a church are not doing enough. Because we tend to forget that we're new. And we slip back into our old ways. Verse 23 says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Your attitude in life is to change. Your life is no longer to be of the world, to be of a me, me, me world, but rather, what can I do to help the Lord? What can I do to help the church? What can I do to help a dying world come to know Jesus Christ? Instead, we as a church are too busy being caught up in trivial things like the color of carpet and what number we're going to sing for that particular Sunday. People are dying and going to hell. Can I repeat that? People are dying and going to hell. And we're arguing over stupid things like the color of carpet and what number we should sing on a Sunday or what kind of worship we should do. Church, it's time to grow up. It's time to remember that you're new and not old anymore. You're a new creation, created to love God and love others, instead of acting like we're still part of this world. The Bible says we're to be in the world, not of the world. And often it's reversed. We act like we're of the world instead of just being in the world. It's time to grow up. It's time to be different. It's time to act like Christ commanded us to act. Verse 24. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is so much we can be doing out there with our new self. I believe we can, as Christians, grow closer to the Lord by uniting behind the Lord with one common goal. Bringing our community and our nation to the Lord. The Bible says, live your life to honor Him. But the world says, live your life to honor it. Read the Word and build your relationship with Christ. Point number one. If you're living in the world and of the world, you're living in the wrong direction. The Bible is clear as day. Remember, you are new. God loves you, and God desires you to follow and worship Him. And not the world. quickly moving on to verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Did you hear that? We are all members of one body. We are to stop preaching a false doctrine and teach the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, but that's okay. Sometimes the truth offends people, but that's okay. Some people have to be offended. It's time to stop living politically correct and start living biblically correct. But we're not doing that. Our church is simply not doing that. The Bible says, live your life to honor Him. But we have seemed as a church to forget that. If we don't begin to lighten up a little bit, if we don't begin to grow up, we're going to continue seeing church after church close. And more importantly, we're going to see neighbor after neighbor go to hell with the blood on our hands. Because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Church, again, it's time to grow up. And we find that in Ezekiel, where it says, the blood's on your hands if you're a Christian and not doing what the Bible tells you to do. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. In the pursuit of life, we must remember that now is not the time to be getting angry at one another. We must instead love one another, grow in your walk, and strive to understand different people's different positions and work together. Anger gets us nowhere when it's an incorrect form of anger. Love is, as we read in 1 Corinthians 13, is what will remain above anything else. We as Christians in our church get angry at stupid things. It's the stupid things that make churches break apart. But it's what love is what keeps us together. And too often we focus on trivial things and we forget love. Again, church, it's time to grow up. Verse 27, and do not give the devil a foothold. We are giving the devil a foothold every day of our lives when we do absolutely nothing. When we have all the quarrels that churches have, the devil is winning and has the upper hand. And yet as a church, we continue doing it and do not care. That ends today. That ends now. Because beginning today, this church is going to start something new. Or should I say, continue something it should have been doing for the longest time. And that's love God, love others, and make disciples as we go. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. We must not rely on others to get what we have. We must never take from others what they have. Instead, let us learn from the Scriptures and apply it to our lives. Let us honor God with our new personal lives and our new life as a church. Again, church, it's time to grow up. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We have heard from Pastor Dave about the countless times of churches breaking up because people say things that hurt others. That ends today. We are to be a church that loves one another, that accepts all for the glory of the Lord. We should never discriminate because of one's nationality or color. We should instead embrace diversity in the body of Christ. For it's diversity that brings differences that help further the kingdom of God. Our country went through many times of racial divide. But we're supposed to be a new country. A country of love, a country of freedom, in a country that accepts all people for the way they are. The problem is, as a church, we don't do that all the time. That ends today. Again, church, it's time to grow up and be the church that the Bible has commanded us to be. And I'm going to end with verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. The time has come to get rid of all of our differences and come together as a church. The church started together in Acts. We read about in Acts how the church came together and they worked together for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And today, we have Pentecostal churches, Baptist churches, Christian fellowship churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches. The bottom line is we are one church. One church to serve God. Yet we're not. We're a church that's divided on doctrinal issues that really shouldn't divide us. Because we're to be one church, united in Christ, to serve one purpose, and that's to worship God, and to serve one other purpose, to reach our community. I believe too often the church spends its time focusing on the negatives of our Christian walk. We always seem to say that we are sinners saved by grace, which by all means is the truth. But instead of always focusing on that, we can instead call us Christ. Call us as Christ called us. We are saints. I want us to begin to focus on what we can do as a new creation, a new life, and as Christ called us, saints, not as the world wants us to be told by. If we are willing to set aside our differences and instead embrace the new creation that God has called us and provided for us as we accepted when we became Christians, then it needs to be something new. You're a new creation. Church, it's time to grow up. We must stop the inner quarreling in our churches. We must refocus our lives. If we can refocus ourselves through the help of the Lord, just imagine what the Lord can do through us as individuals and through us as the church body. The possibilities are endless. If we are willing to make those changes, if you, as a church, are willing to make those changes today, would you please do me a favor and stand up? I want you to repeat after me in unison. I commit to love God. I commit to love others. I commit to making disciples as I grow. And I commit to making disciples as we as a church grow. You may be seated. That's our mission statement as a church. We commit to love God, love others, and make disciples as we go, as we grow. But we're not doing that. That ends today. Many of you might be out there today, and you're trapped in your old self. You don't know how to remember that you became a new creation. That ends today. We as a church will do whatever it takes to help you realize that you're new and you're not of the world, but you're just in the world. We as a church need to remember that people are out there in our own community dying every day and going to hell, and we're doing nothing about it. Well, that ends today. I hope that you take this message to heart and that you understand what I'm trying to get to you. We as a church are not doing our job. And beginning today, we as a church must start doing our job. Because if we don't, 10,000 more churches are going to close next year. 10,000 churches are going to grow next year. And it's going to continue and continue until we as a church step up and say, enough is enough. Today we're going to love the Lord, we're going to love others, and we're going to preach the gospel and not be afraid. Because it's the gospel that gets us to heaven, not the world. It's time to stop being politically correct, as I said earlier, and start being biblically correct. It's time to stop having a Christian aquarium, as Bill Fay said, and start being fishers of men. Our church does not exist to sustain itself. Our church exists to grow, to bring others to Christ and to disciple them as we grow. We're not doing that. And today I'm here to say, it's time to grow up. It's time to be different. It's time to be Christians as we are commanded to be, instead of people just living every day just to survive. Pastor Dave, Joe, would you come on up here? Courtney, if you want to come up, you come up as well. Maybe you are just now realizing that you were living the old way. As we sing our closing hymn of Amazing Grace, I want to give you guys the opportunity to come up here and to pray with Pastor Dave and me. And ladies, if you want to pray with Joe and Courtney, that's fine. But remember, church, it's time to grow up. And that growing up begins right now. Our closing hymn is page 202, Amazing Grace.